We appreciate the blessings of God tonight, and we certainly want to say we appreciate you being here. I know we preachers get paid for being good, and you're good for nothing, but we still appreciate you being here tonight. Think on that before you throw stones at me. We want to commend you for coming to the house of God. I realize it's all of our responsibility to do this, but still, trudging out on a night like tonight, we appreciate your faithfulness.
Sure.
Lord bless you. We're so glad to have all of our visitors here tonight.
Right.
All the home folks said amen.
Amen.
Now, come on, make them feel more welcome than that.
Amen.
There you go. That's the way to do it. We appreciate you. Of course, we're glad to have Brother and Sister Atkinson with us tonight. Lord bless them for being with us, and we appreciate them. And also, of course, glad to have Brother and Sister Price back home with us. Enjoy that good song tonight. Appreciate that. Amen. And Sister Rinda Rutledge is visiting with us tonight. Well, her husband's holding the fort way down in Monroe, having revival. They got children have to be in school. I know how all that goes. Mama's got to stay home, keep the fires burning. Lord bless her. Appreciate him being with us tonight. Amen. And Brother Huckabee, alias Brother Hedden, we're glad to have you tonight. And Brother Huckabee, good to have you tonight. God bless you. Appreciate that good song. And of course, God bless our good friend come all the way from Ohio with Brother and Sister Price, Brother Cagle. Lord bless your son. Enjoy that good number. We wish you the best, whatever it is. Lord bless you and give you mighty revivals. Evangelist has always got a soft spot in my heart. When you travel constantly, you kind of know what I'm talking about. We need good evangelists today, and I pray God will strengthen all those that have given it all they've got. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen, hallelujah, glory God, thank you, Jesus. Come on. I never get much request to sing. Brother Wellie doesn't either, and he sings anyhow. He's been practicing on me all week, something about let it snow, let it snow. So if it does, you got him to blame. Hallelujah. We're going to have a great time this week.
Sure, sure.
Tonight's the beginning, the Lord willing, of a great week for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Sure.
Whatever your need is in God, He's here tonight to supply that need.
Right.
You need not have to put it off any longer. Jesus is here to meet you tonight.
Sure.
Let's stand and give Him a greeting right now, everybody. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We also appreciate, of course, the good meal, Brother and Sister Jackson's last night, and all the other nice, good things everyone's bringing in.
That's right.
Lord bless you for your faithfulness. We mean that. Let the congregation say, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
And all that is within me.
Oh,
bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
And forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?
Who
healeth all thy diseases?
Who
redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord is a great God. Let's praise Him for it. Come on. Amen. I love Him tonight, don't you? It's coming out of Psalms 103. We appreciate the blessings of God tonight.
Praise God.
How many has their Bible? Said amen.
Amen.
Everybody's got their chewing gum? Said amen. Several of you need to remember you're in the house of God, all right? Amen. Everybody that has their Bible now said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Every night, bring your Bible. Acts 17:11 said of some people, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And I like this part about it. And search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You don't have to take any preacher's word. You can just look in your Bible to see if what they say is there.
Right.
Lord, bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray again. I feel like we need to pray again. Let's pray right now. Ask God to move in a unique way tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Reading tonight from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Let's begin with verse 18. We will be preaching also tonight from the first epistle of Peter. This is what the Spirit has spoke to my heart. We try to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. And I want the Spirit of God to move in this service.
Praise God.
At any time, at any place, we don't have a form nor a fashion. Amen. We want the Spirit of God to move here tonight. Is that all right? If you want to pray through, if you're a backslider, if you are a sinner, would like to find God, you can find Him right now.
Right.
You don't have to wait till altar call.
Right.
If you'll let the Spirit of God through His Word touch your heart. I appreciate what I got tonight. I'd rather have this than all the wealth of the world, and I mean that.
That's right.
And I'd rather know Jesus than any other man I know.
Yeah.
Let's everyone say that melodious, incomparable name of Jesus together. Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. In fact, I'm going to be so honest with you tonight as I would not trade places with Moses on Mount Sinai.
That's right.
I wouldn't trade places with him. I'd rather have what I got tonight. Verse 18, chapter 12 of Hebrews. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I've got something tonight, haven't you? I am in something tonight, too. Verse 28 will be my text. Wherefore,
we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The unmovable kingdom. You may be seated. It is anticlimactical apostolically for me to say, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 2:20 of Ephesians. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. I believe in 2:19 of 2 Timothy most emphatically. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There are a lot of teachings going on in this world. A lot of beliefs. Over 48 different modes and way of baptisms alone. But I'm here to tell you tonight, according to what Jesus said, 7:24 of the book of Matthew, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus told Peter, beginning in the book of Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe the kingdom I'm in tonight is unmovable, unstoppable, unflappable, imperturbable. It is a kingdom that will ultimately have all conquest. Its king will live forever. Its precepts will be vindicated. Its word will stand. And the name of its God is above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I'm not in a 2x4 fly-by-night rolling stone wandering star spiritual kingdom that's here today, gone tomorrow. I am not part of a figment of a man's imagination. This is not fairy tale theology. This is not spiritual Snow White Seven Dwarfs. I'm here to tell you this is more real than the hand before your face tonight. And it's real, so real, that it's going to last while the ages roll on without end, world to come. And at the same say amen.
Amen.
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and it fell, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I do not wish tonight to be personal, and I wish not tonight to intimidate nor impersonate anybody's belief, but I'm here to tell you everything not of Jesus shall come down. Every baptism not according to 238, 816, 1048, 19:5 of Acts shall come down. And if anybody's preaching any more than one God in the Godhead, it's a coming down, brother. They might take the fire out of hell and the tears out of repentance and the name out of water baptism and tongues out of the Spirit, but their kingdom's coming down. Because this kingdom that I'm part and parcel of tonight is going to stand. It cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. I do not believe in jellyfish theology. I am not part or partial of some sort of backward step in progress. We can look the devil in the eye tonight and say, oh boy, I'm in the name above every name. I'm preaching the kingdom of God. And you tried your best to drown it and burn it and hack off its head and do it away. But it's still in the world and it's still preaching the truth and it's still having revival. And the name we preach is going to conquer all. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Everybody say, cannot be moved. Say, cannot be moved. Let us have grace for why we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, the salutation of this great apostle. And you notice in 5:1 of 1 Peter, he makes the remark, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Peter classified himself an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, I appreciate Acts 2:38 that Simon preached, don't you? But he's just as welcome to preach his epistle as he is his evangelistic message. He's just as welcome to preach this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. And I'd like to stop there. How else you think you're going to get sanctified but by the Spirit? Not spirits, but Spirit. Right. Sanctified means to be set apart for a holy purpose. You can have ordination certificates all around your wall. You can wallpaper your living room with it. If the Holy Ghost hadn't come into your life and sanctified you, you're not sanctified. Through sanctification of the Spirit. We need the Spirit to sanctify us like we've never been before. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And that's the heartbeat of my feeling tonight. Every church needs grace and peace to be multiplied. Every church needs the move of the Holy Ghost and sanctification. 12:1 of Romans declared, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, not your wives, not your husband, but your bodies. You got to do your own praying and your own sanctifying and dedicating and consecrating. Come on now. You got to do your own fasting and your own seeking after God. You got to get in the kingdom. You got to be persuaded. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let the saints say reasonable service. In verse 2 said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's where the battlefield, the arena, the Colosseum, it's in your mind. It's not in your heart. People lose out up here before they lose out down here. I'm asking you, in your mind, are you persuaded Jesus is God? In your mind, are you persuaded the only way to be water baptized is by immersion in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin? In your mind, are you persuaded Jesus still heals all manner of infirmities? In your mind, are you still convinced that this is the day of apostolic ministry and this is the day of revival? Or are you just with lip service going through the motions? I'm telling you, with my whole mind tonight, I'm persuaded this is it. And this kingdom shall not be moved. And I need my mind renewed, and you need your mind renewed. Amen. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, it's sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Everybody say abundant mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. According to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just what do you think brought me out of the muck and the mire and the quicksand of despair? His abundant mercy reached down for me. It wasn't the eulogy or the great prolific descriptive adjectives of a preacher. It was not the trained white-robed choir. It was not some good Sunday school. It was the hand of God's mercy. Let's tell it like it is tonight. According to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Everybody say lively hope. How can we be such dumb bunnies if it's a lively hope? How can we be such immovable, zombies, as it were, and we don't clap our hands and worship like we should? I've got a lively hope tonight. I've got a lively hope, and it's all predicated on one indisputable Bible fact: by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Preacher, how long has it been since you preached the resurrection? Sunday school teacher, how long has it been since you preached the resurrection? Harp on all the subjects you want to harp on, but if there's a body called Jesus slumbering in a tomb in the Judean hills in Joseph of Arimathea's sepulcher tonight, if he's still in the tomb, I don't care how high you jump, how loud you holler, I don't care what strict standard of holiness you promulgate, it makes no difference to me the depth of your consecration. We don't have a hope at all tonight. I'm saying the resurrection needs to be preached like it's never been preached before. I know why I talk in tongues. There's an empty tomb. I know why I've got healing. There's an empty tomb. I know why I got a name above every name. There's an empty tomb. I know why there's an apostolic church on this corner. There's an empty tomb. I know why you're in the church tonight. There's an empty tomb. I know why you're not on some bar stool guzzling beer, smoking cigarettes, and flipping a deck of cards. There's an empty tomb. I know why you got joy in your soul. There's an empty tomb. I say thank God for the resurrection. Come on, everybody, get those hands in the air. Hallelujah. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Some people's understanding as we chug along through a fog bank of despair and finally stumble through the gates of pearl and fall, as it were, down on the street of gold, and huffing and puffing all out of breath, we get over there and we get a shack by the railroad track. And oh, just a cabin will do, Lord. My God, that's not Scripture. Any more than the song, "Wait a Little Longer, Please Jesus." That's not Scripture. My Bible said to an inheritance. You're looking at someone that's got an inheritance. That's what the book says. To an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. What kind of that is? Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. For who? For you. Personal identity. Me. My name's wrote all over it. Get away. It's mine. That's what the Bible says, that no man take your crown. Don't you go trying my hat on. Hallelujah. I intend to sing my own part in the choir. Don't go trying to say my words for me. I'm going to say the words myself. I'm going to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for myself. I'll tell you just a little preview of it. The Bible tells me in 5 and verse 9 of Revelation, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us and our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, that's 100 million, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice." Let's hear you say "loud voice." Come on now. Come on, come on, say it with a loud voice. That's what it said, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That rhymes, doesn't it? I'm glad I got my part memorized. Hallelujah. Now, you may not know your part, but I got mine. Don't try to get my place in the choir. I'm going to be standing right there, right before the throne. I'll cast my crown at the nail-pierced feet. I'm going to say with the redeemed of the ages, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I've got an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. It's not a shimmering mirage on a desert of time. It's not a nightmare. It's not a ships passing in the night. No, I'm not deluded tonight, nor nor am I demented, nor am I drunk and intoxicated. I'm standing here a citizen of another world. I'm standing here telling you my home's over yonder. I'm glad I'm coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels. The compadre kindred spirits are here from the other world tonight. There's angels here. You may not believe this, but I do. Well, hello, angel. Hello, angel. Wait till we all get home. I intend to be there by the grace of God because I've got an inheritance I'm going to claim. There's more to this than life. There's another life on the other side. Everybody said amen. Amen. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept. Let me hear you say kept. By the power of God. Say it. Say it again. Say it again. In this day and age when the power of positive thinking, New Year's resolutions, and this made-up mind theology has been substituted for the naked, raw, demonstrating power of the Holy Ghost, I want to make a blow and strike a blow for old-fashioned Pentecost and say it this way. I still believe in the keeping power of God. I'm not talking about some mythical descriptive theology, some nebulous term remotely connected to some long dusty cover of some book in some college. I'm talking an old-fashioned altar. When you receive an old-fashioned experience and you talk in an old-fashioned tongue, that this old-fashioned power can keep you saved. Securely saved with the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, Jesus said in 6:19 of the book of Matthew, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Hallelujah. How about you tonight? Something within me is holding the reins. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:4. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1:8. I believe there's power in this experience tonight. And we are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Some people think God's not ready. He's a fidgeting old man stumbling over his beard with a white-tipped cane. And he's walking around with thick-rimmed glasses wondering where he's going to go next and what he's going to do. Let me tell you, he's ready. Don't you ever think God's not ready. He's ready. And this church is headed somewhere. Ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, wherein you greatly rejoice. I'd like to see some of you start greatly rejoicing around here. If you didn't have more Holy Ghost blessing than what's showing off on your face and what's coming through on your worship, you don't have a whole lot tonight. It's time to rejoice. You say, I don't feel good. Rejoice anyhow. You say, preacher, I'm sick. Rejoice anyhow. I've had a nervous breakdown. Rejoice anyhow. I haven't got two nickels to rub together. Join the club. Rejoice anyhow. Oh, but I'll tell you, preacher, you don't know the trouble I've seen. Rejoice anyhow. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, if I'm on a bed of affliction, I don't want to be stepping on my chin anyhow. If Jesus comes, I don't want him to find me down with the mully grubs, deep in the dark, dank valley of disappointment, and whining and crying and claiming that everybody's backslid but me, Lord, and I don't know about myself half the time. But oh, when he splits the clouds, I want to be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friend, this kingdom cannot be moved. There is a status. There is a spirit. There is an experience. There is a demonstration. There is a place in the Holy Ghost that you can have. You can live. You can locate. You can pitch your tent. You can drive your stakes in that the devil can't budge you from. You can be in a kingdom that cannot be moved. The winds blow. The rain comes. And trouble knocks on your door. But that kingdom is rock solid. That kingdom is immovable. Hallelujah! That's the kind of kingdom he gave us. He bequeathed to us a solid church, sound in limb, sound in doctrine. And I'm not about to get out of it. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Praise the Lord! Well, whom having not seen, you love. Raise your hand and say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Say it again. Whom having not seen ye love. I've never seen him. But oh, I want to see him. 22:4 Revelation said they shall see his face. 1 John 3:2 Beloved, now we're the sons of God, not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. 3:20 of Philippians, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is able. He will subdue all things unto himself. Whom having not seen ye love. I've never looked on his face. I've never had a dream of him. I've never had a vision of him. I have never in any way, form, shape, or fashion had any inclination what he's going to look like other than what the Scripture says. Artists have given us their rendition and version, but I think they're way off. But I do know this,